గోపీ జనవల్లభ గిరివర ధారి చోడానంద వ్రజ జనరంజన యశోదానందన గజ జనరంజన యమునాతీరావణచారి సుభద్రా మహారాణికి శ్రీ శ్రీ గౌర్నితాయికి శ్రీనివాస్ బాలాజీకి సమావేత భక్త వృందకి కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదికి నరసింహ చతుర్దశి మహామహోత్సవకి జ్ఞానతమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయా చక్షుః వన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపః కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురోః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీ గురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం కంసజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపాదాన్ సహగణలలితా శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. నమవో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామిని. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణే. నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. ఉగ్రం వీరం మహావిష్ణుం జ్వలంతం సర్వతోముఖం నృసింహం భీషణం భద్రం మృత్యోర్మృత్యోర్నమామ్యహం. శ్రీనరసింహ జయ నరసింహ జయ జయ నరసింహ. ప్రహ్లాదేశ జయ పద్మాముఖ పద్మభృంగ. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీయద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयं मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः. श्रीमद् भागवतम 7.4.19. So I am going to show you a PowerPoint also called the three lessons from Narasimha Leela. But before I show the PPT, we will recite this shloka.
Sayittam nirjita kakub yekarat vishayan priyan yathopajo shambhunjano natrupyat ajitendriyah. Sayittam nirjita kakub yekarat vishayan priyan यथोपजोषं भुञ्जानो नातृप्यत् अजितेन्द्रियः. सयित्तं निर्जितः ककुब एकराड् विषयान् प्रियान् यथोपजोषं भुञ्जानो यत् अजितेन्द्रियः सः हि हिरण्यकश्यपु इत्थं दस् निर्जितः कान्क्वायर्ड् ककुब् आल् डैरेक्षन्स् विदिन् द यूनिवर्स् एकराट् द वन् एम्परर् आफ् द होल् यूनिवर्स् विषयान् मेटीरियल् सेन्स् आब्जेक्ट्स् प्रियान् वेरि प्लीजिङ्ग् यथा उपजोषम् एस् मच् एस् पासिबल् भुञ्जानः एन्जायिङ्ग् न डिड् नाट् अतृप्यत् वास् सेटिस्फैड् अजित इन्द्रियः बीङ्ग् अनेबल् टु कण्ट्रोल् द सेन्सस् ट्रान्स्लेट् पर्पोर्ट् बै हिस् डिवैन् ग्रेस् एस् भक्तिवेदन्त स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की. इन् स्पैट् आफ् अचीविङ्ग् द पवर् टु कण्ट्रोल् in all directions and in spite of enjoying all types of dear sense gratification as much as possible, Hiranyakashipu was dissatisfied because instead of controlling his senses, he remained their servant. Purport: this is an example of ascetic life. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada ki: this is an example of ascetic life. Atheists can advance materially and create an extremely comfortable situation for the senses, but because they are controlled by the senses, they cannot be satisfied. This is the effect of modern civilization. Materialists are very much advanced in enjoying money and women, yet dissatisfaction prevails within the human society because human society cannot be happy and peaceful without Krishna consciousness. As far as material sense gratification is concerned, materialists may go on increasing their enjoyment as far as they can imagine, but because people in such a material condition are servants of their senses, they cannot be satisfied. Hiranyakashipu was a vivid example of this dissatisfied state of humanity. So, today is the most auspicious day of appearance of Lord Narasimha in the evening. So now I am speaking on three lessons from Narasimha Leela instead of speaking about the appearance of Lord Narasimha from the pillar, which I will speak in the evening talk in the Hindi. Here the three lessons are one from Hiranyakashipu, one from Prahlad,
and one from Lord Narasimha. Three. And from each of these personalities, we will learn four lessons each. So, we have lessons from Hiranyakashipu first. These four lessons. Just now we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam. The difference between divine and demoniac. What is divine consciousness? Divine consciousness means to see everything belongs to Krishna. Krishna has put us in this material world, but we all are facing some incompatibility, trouble in this world. We have experience from our body and mind while interacting with other living beings and from the nature. Any intelligent person will immediately recognize it and he will ask the question, why is this incompatibility? Why am I suffering in this world? So very soon, when he turns to scriptures, he gets abundant wisdom about how the incompatibility is actually due to our turning away from the Lord and becoming diseased in this world. So in a diseased state, one should not try to enjoy. See, a healthy man can eat puri, pakoda, bhaji, you know, gulab jamun, rasamalai, shrikhand, you know, you can eat all those items. But an unhealthy person, sickly person, doctor tells him to drink some, you know, vegetable soups for some period of time until he gets completely cured. Once he is healthy, then he will be allowed to eat well. So if somebody already has 102, 103 degree Fahrenheit, if he starts delighting and eating very big plate of Rajabhog Mahaprasad, then he will get even more worse. Similarly, in the material world, this is the first thing we all have to recognize, that in this world, there is a great disease in all living entities, which is enjoying mentality. And that enjoying mentality comes out as greed. Lust and greed. Greed to accumulate more, and after accumulating more, then enjoy more. Which was what Hiranyakashipu was trying to do. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam, in this world, one should accumulate the minimum. Labho jiveta yavata. For what? For keeping the body and soul together. Once the body and soul are kept together, you are peaceful. Then you can do bhajan of the Lord. And we can go back home, back to Godhead. That's the only goal for which we have to accumulate, that much only. And this reminds me of a story from Panchatantra. Once upon a time, there was a tree in which there were a dozen small kids living with the parent birds. And the dozen children were all very happy. And the parents grew them up. And the mother bird told the children, every day you all will go and collect some eatables and bring it here, some fruits, some rice, you know, different items. And then you all bring it and put it here in the nest. And then I will mix it all together and then I will distribute each of you little. And you all will accept your eatable. And then eat and we will live happily. And a few years went by very happily. And they all brought their lot and they had full trust in the parent. And whatever mother divided and gave them, they were very happy. So there was one bird amongst these birds. One day when he was flying to get some eatable, in one village not very far from the nest, just half a kilometer distance from there, in that village there was a road which was going from that village to the next village. So in that road, some bullock carts were going, carrying sacks of rice. So because the road was very bumpy road, in one of the places, when the bullock cart went up and then it got down, the goni of rice, the sack of rice, got little opened behind. And then a lot of rice fell to the ground. So there was an abundant quantity of rice, probably a few kilos fell down. And the bullock cart went ahead. without taking notice of it. So this one bird went there and saw, oh, there is abundant quantity. There are 3-4 kilos of rice here. Now for several months, now I don't have to go anywhere. And this is a remote road. Once in a while, the vehicles, the carts may go here. So I can come here daily. So I don't have to do hard work. I can just come here and pick up rice and go back home. And I can relax. And then he made a very cunning plan. He went to his mother and said, Mom, I want to give one warning to all my brothers and yourself also. Not far from here, there is a road in which a lot of rice has fallen from a bullock cart. It's lying on the road. So none of our family members should go there, he said. Why? Because if they go there, the bullock carts keep going, coming. They may ride over the birds and they may die. It's very risky. Go on that road. Immediately mother told all the kids, hey, nobody should go there, okay? And everybody agreed unitedly that we will not go there. And they all would go to different faraway places to get. But this bird thought, now I have cut off all my family members from that road. Now nobody will be my competitor. I will be exclusively going to that road. And that rice is as it is lying there, I can pick up. Not only I can pick up, before I bring anything to home, I can eat a lot myself. I paid for a full belly, I will eat. And then I will bring some little bit to the home. In this way, I will eat more than my brothers. And I will only give very little to the home. Because when I give it to home, it's a divided property. You know, everybody mixes it up and then they give little to everybody. But here is a place where exclusively it will be mine. I will be the king of this rice and nobody else will be my competitor. And I can eat as much as I want, as long as I want. And I have no restriction. And I have cheated my other family members not to come here, so nobody will come. I will be an exclusive enjoyer, abundant enjoyer. In this way the bird made a plan. And every day he started going there and bringing. Nobody knew that he goes there. Only he knew it. But the problem was what? Every day he was eating a lot. So he was becoming the plumpiest bird amongst all the birds. He was getting fat and fatter and even more fatter because of eating a lot. And now he started becoming lazy. And he said to himself, no problem even if I am fat, because the place from where I have to bring the rice is not very far from here, it is nearby. And I don't have to work much. I will do very little work and enjoy more. That was his plan. See what all plans he made. Work little, enjoy more. Accumulate a lot for myself and give very little to the family. And cut off all the other members of the family for exclusive enjoyment. By speaking lies to them. In this way, by all these plans he became lazy. Very lazy. So one day, when he went to that spot to eat, he ate so much, overflowing beyond the belly. Full belly. So much so that he became very lazy to move out of the street, and a bullock cart was passing by and he was finished by the bullock cart. So the lesson we learned from this story, it's a very instructive lesson for all of us. One should not make independent plan for enjoyment. Somebody thinks, I will get some gulab jamun, a dozen gulab jamun. And when no one is around, I will go to a private room and I'll bolt the door and I'll eat all of it. Yes, you can eat, but the super soul is watching. And our senses will become uncontrolled by eating like that. And the result would be, very soon, we'll become ajitendriya, as he said. It's only a matter of time. One will lose higher taste and one will plunge into lower taste. So this fellow made a plan to be independent of the mother bird and do something of his own. That was one thing. Another thing we learn is, when we become greedy, we become lazy also. The more we get to eat, sleep, mate, we become very lethargic in spiritual life.
just like you see this Hiranyakashipu, initially he worked very hard, severe penance he did, and after the Brahma gave, you know, all benedictions and went, he went to the Indra Loka, sat in the very big asana of Indra and drank liquor, and he was watching Apsaras dancing, and his eyes were like copper balls reeling, and they were reeling, and he was always drunken on liquor. He became a lazy fellow. And also he started sitting and enjoying, thinking that now everything and everyone will be at my beck and call. So similarly, the purpose of purifying our heart and preparing to go back to God, for which, you know, we are living in this world, that purpose will be forgotten if we become greedy. Because if you accumulate too many material goods, material assets foil spiritual assets, Prabhupada writes. It's like sprinkling water in firewood. If you really want to accumulate more material goods, you sprinkle water in firewood, then the smoke will come, fire won't come. In that way, this bird became greedy to eat a lot, and then he became lazy, lethargic and fat. That is another lesson. Another lesson is making cunning plans. Hiranyakashipu was very cunning also. He didn't want to go to Supreme Lord, he wanted to go to demigods, and he wanted to cheat the demigod by asking for amaratva or immortality. Prabhupada writes in many places, the living entity does not want to follow the laws of God, but at the same time he does not want to accept the material clutches of Maya also. See, if somebody says, I will loot a bank, but I will not be caught by the police. How is that possible? Somebody loots a bank, then he has to be under the control of the police and the police station. But he says, no, I don't want to be in police station. They will beat me. I'll have to break stones. They'll give me low quality food. That I don't want. Then you have to be a ideal citizen, good citizen. Then don't break the state law. No, he says, I'll break the state law, but I will escape the police. So the atheistic scientists of the modern times are exactly like that also. They tell the students and they tell everybody, oh, you can eat, drink and be merry. Life is for enjoyment. You can do it. And when sufferings come, don't worry, you'll find out medicines to cure your disease. Don't worry, we will invent something to make you happy. And we will also find out how to live forever. See, on this earthly planet there is death. We'll find out, is there another planet where there will be a nice climate, where we will live forever. They are trying to go to Mars, they are trying to go to Moon, different planets, where you can live forever without any stoppage. So, therefore, Prabhupada wrote the book, Easy Journey to Other Planets, because these fellows are trying to find out a place where there will not be old age, disease and death. It's a useless attempt in this material world if one does not refer to the scriptures. Without referring scripture, making an effort with mechanistic science, it is simply a futile attempt. So you will find that they want to do sense gratification, eat, drink and be merry, using all the commodities which belong to Krishna, God. They will take it and enjoy it, but when they become a thief, they will not be ready to be punished by Maya. They escape from Maya, they will find out some inventions. Just see. Same thing Hiranyakashipu wanted to do. He thought that this world is very nice for me to enjoy. Only there are little problems. What is it? You get old, you get disease, you get death. And also, you know, you get adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidavika, kleshas are there. So Hiranyakashipu thought, I'll make such a plan that I will stop my death. I'll become immortal. Plus he thought, sinful people go to hell and suffer. Instead, I will send them to heaven. And pious people who are Vishnu's people, I'll send them to hell. He reversed the polarity. The sinful people, he sent them to heaven, and pious people, he was sending them to hell. That was Hiranyakashipu's plan. And he wanted to stop his death, which he couldn't. So then he tricked Brahma in a cunning manner that, you know, I should not die on land, die on sky. I should not die inside the palace, outside the palace, not in the day, not in the night, not by a human, not by an animal, not by a nail, not by any weapons and all that. So he thought he is over smart, he's over intelligent. He thought he is more brainy than God also. As this is audacity of the demons, you will see. When one is an atheist, he talks as if he has information about the entire millions of universes. Many scientists will speak as if, you know, everything is in their control only. With such confidence, that is like the frog's confidence. A frog in the well is very confident. He is asking, how big is Atlantic? Is it this big? Is it this big? Is this big? And then he burst open his belly. Similarly, these atheistic scientists are no better than frogs. They just pop up their belly and ask, is Atlantic so big? So, such arrogance was there in Hiranyakashipu also. But modern day atheist Prabhupada says they are like mosquitoes in front of Hiranyakashipu. They are insignificant. It's useless to even talk about them. The kind of control Hiranyakashipu had by performing severe austerities. We will come to the austerity eventually, next one. First one is about divine and demoniac. And the demoniac actually wants to continue living in this world. Therefore, Prabhupada calls it as a one-sided program. One-sided program means there are two sides to life in this world. There is a material side, there is a spiritual side. Now, one-sided material progress, if man tries to make, he will become most miserable. So, in the Bhagavatam itself, it is said, Mangalaya cha lokanam, Kshemaya cha bhavaya cha. Three things are said. Mangalaya, Kshemaya, Bhavaya. Bhavaya means economic development and material welfare. Kshemaya means liberation from miseries. And Mangalaya means attaining love of God. So, our Shastras teach that we have to work for both material and spiritual. But the material, purpose of material work is what? You know, you will find that people are going to the schools and colleges to get avidya, material science. And when they pass out of the colleges, they work like donkeys to make more and more and more money for enjoying sense gratification. This should be abandoned. On the contrary, instead of avidya, they should cultivate vidya and rajavidya, the knowledge for attaining love of God. And then instead of working hard to accumulate more and more, labo jiveta yavata. Accumulate, you know, what you need, food, you need some clothing to cover the body, and you need some hut or some small house to live. Work for the basic needs in life. Once they are attained, immediately turn your attention to God. Turn your attention to preparing to go back to God by purifying the heart, which Prahlad did. One example comes to my mind. You know, His Holiness Mahavishnu Maharaj, you know, the Maharaj told that Dwaraka is a very wonderful place to preach, isn't it? Maharaj asked. And all his disciples told, yes, Maharaj. So I thought of taking all of you and then we can do some preaching. And many, many devotees joined him and they all wanted to go there to preach. And as soon as he reached there, they asked Maharaj, Maharaj, where can we arrange your stay? You know, you said 3-star hotel will be all right or 5-star? Which one you prefer? Maharaj said, he had told one devotee that you just make a hut which has no roof. So they made a simple pandal type of thing they made. He took all these devotees there and sat in the pandal along with one small hut there. And they sat in the evening and they were reading. And devotees were asking, Maharaj, it's all right to read here, but where are you going to stay? Maharaj said, in the small hut I will stay, that's all. And Maharaj asked, you asked 3-star or 5-star? I said hundreds of stars up in the sky. He said, what more do you need in this world? Krishna has given us the bhumi to sit. Just sit and study Bhagavatam. And they said, okay Maharaj, if that is your preference, it's all right. We are ready to sit in the open sky and study. You can stay in the hut. But what about preaching? You said we have to preach. Said, yes, we have to preach, but before that we have to study. Therefore, I have come here. Then everybody sat with Bhagavatam and they studied. He said, if I tell you that we will study Bhagavatam, then nobody will come. Everybody will say, now we have so many busy things to do. We have to go here, we have to go there, we have to preach. He said, therefore I called you for preaching. Yes, we are going to preach, but don't ask when. First we will study ourselves now. And then Maharaj told, as a very old
Actually, when he met Prabhupada, you know, he was close to in the 60s, 70s, very elderly, and Prabhupada actually gave him this thing, no? Sannyas also. He took sannyas also. But when he went to the London Soho Street temple, he went to the temple and said, I am so fortunate that I found Srila Prabhupada and his books and everything. Now I come to dedicate my life. Oh, President, please give me some service. So his body was shaking. His hand, his legs would slightly shake, his body would shake. President looked at him and said, you are asking for service, but I am only wondering what service can I give you? All of Brahmacharya is here, take the book bag and go to the marketplace, you know, to distribute Prabhupada books. How will I give you such a book distribution? And if I send you to, you know, clean the temple hall or, you know, serve in the kitchen, you can't do it because, you know, your body is very old now. I am also wondering what service can I give you, he said. And then one of the days President said, I think one thing you can do well is just sit down and study Bhagavatam, he said. And Maharaj said, yes, yes. I have been a very busy man in life. Now I actually wanted to use my post-retirement stage in studying Bhagavatam well, and that has come from your mouth now, so I'll study well. So in Soho Street temple, there is a pole, like a pillar type of thing. And Maharaj would sit near the pillar in the morning. After the morning prasadam, he would sit. And practically till night, 9 o'clock, he'll be there only. Except that he has to go for prasad sometimes, and he'll come. And some little service in the kitchen, where he would sit in a chair and wash certain small items. He would wash. Rest of the times, he would sit and study Bhagavatam. He would study the whole Srimad Bhagavatam very nicely. And 7 hours, 8 hours in a day. And he had several notebooks. He would write down purports of Prabhupada, the important points. And in the book also, in the sides, he would write headings which represents a particular paragraph. He would do that. And also, because he studied Bhagavatam well for a long time, when he became, later on one day, the president saw the scheduled speaker was not available. So he told Maharaj, you are reading so much Bhagavatam, can you give a class? And when he gave a class, it became a hit class. Then everybody wanted to hear more and more from him. Then he spoke there, then they sent him to the manor, started speaking. So wherever Maharaj was sent, he would prepare for 2-3 hours for the class. And he would prepare 10-12 pages for one Bhagavatam class. And everybody will be waiting to hear from him. So when he would come, he would put all the pages in front. And the beauty was, after Jayaradha Madhava, he will never look at them. And he would speak a class totally different from what he prepared. And then he would tell at the end of the class, although I prepared exhaustively, I didn't even begin to say what I wanted to say, but I had so much more to say. Like that he would say. So this is the beauty of Krishna revealing in the heart of such devotees. You will see, because he studied Bhagavatam with great sincerity and attained the shelter of Bhagavatam, he could speak for hours together blissfully with fresh realization springing from his heart, prodded by Krishna, like that. So you will see, those who are divine, you see Prahlad here dancing along with his friends. He made all his devotees into friends and he is dancing with them in kirtan. In the same manner, you will find those who are divine, see the whole universe as divine. It is Krishna's energy. It is Krishna's property. And everything should be used in Krishna's service. And I should only take rock bottom minimum for myself. Opulence for Krishna, in a poverty for oneself. Accept a little for my own sake. And use everything else in Krishna's service. And don't waste the human form of life and running here, running there and accumulating goods. Like this foolish sparrow I told you, he accumulated so much grains, thinking that it's all mine, but the very same grains became the cause of his death. Same thing with Hiranyakashipu. He accumulated so much, like Ekarat, it is said. Ekarat means he became a singular, you know, king of the whole universe. Still, by his demoniac nature, he never was satisfied. He never was happy because he was Ajitendriya, it is said. Ajitendriya means becoming a slave of our senses. How do I know that I am becoming a slave of my senses? You may have a question. You see, when we are eating prasad, we should eat prasad in such a way that we should not agitate the tongue. Similarly, when one is engaging any of the senses, one should engage the senses in such a way that one should fulfill the needs of the senses for survival and not for sense gratification. For example, we are sleeping in the night. 6 hours you sleep, next morning you get up fresh. Then your body is fit for again serving Krishna whole day. But instead of sleeping 6 hours, somebody wants to sleep 10 hours. He is sleeping 6 hours at night, 4 hours in the day. Then that is sense gratification. He is not sleeping for Krishna's pleasure. He is actually indulging in sleeping. Same with eating, indulging in eating. Same with sex life. Same with accumulating things. Are you accumulating things for survival, or you are accumulating more and more for satisfying the greed of the mind? So he became slave of his senses. And what was that slavery? His slavery was that everybody should chant my name. Everybody should recognize me. The whole universe should become my followers. And the whole universe should salute me. And if even if there is one person like Prahlad, 5-year-old boy, who is not agreeing to chant Om Hiranyakashipuve Namaha, I'll finish him. That was his idea. Actually, this ahankar was also seen in Indra in the Govardhan Leela. He thought the Vrijavasis have been offering me sacrifices. Now they have stopped. So I will kill them now by sending forth heavy Samvardhaka clouds. So this type of bossing mentality, dominating mentality, overtaking the whole Triloka, becoming a Triloka Adhipati, that was the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. But the difference is, Indra is a demigod, not anti-Vishnu, whereas Hiranyakashipu is anti-Vishnu. But Indra also has a mixture of service attitude and egoistic mentality. But Hiranyakashipu has no service attitude. He has only egoistic mentality. So, therefore, we haven't become fully divine. We have the Indra-like mentality, demigod mentality, of some amount of control, some amount of service attitude. We are not anti-Vishnu. At the same time, we are not pro-Vishnu fully also. We have some amount of selfishness. So that selfishness is what is to be cured by hearing such pastimes like this. See here, second one from Hiranyakashipu, we learned penance. Actually, austerities are definitely good. Somebody had asked a question yesterday about determination. How do we develop determination? Actually, by doing austerities, you develop determination. Say, you have a habit of getting up at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning. You do it for a month, you know, you will develop a very firm steadiness in spiritual life, and you will be determined to chant in the early morning, determined to read Prabhupada books in the early morning. So the austerities actually purifies us, and it gives us Brahma Saukhyam, transcendental bliss. And that bliss gives us the conviction and determination to go on. For example, you climb up Tirupati Balaji temple by foot. Make a sankalpa and fulfill the sankalpa. Then you get determination. That means, you know, make a plan and fulfill the plan. Like I made a plan that I will finish Gita Rahasyam in English. Then I'll finish Gita Rahasyam in Hindi. Then I will do Bhagavatam first canto, 19 chapters. So it's a little difficult when you make a sankalpa. You know, it's very easy to take an initiate a task, but many times we will drop it in the middle due to our own lethargy, laziness or something like that. It's possible. But when I took it, I had a personal experience. So when I completed, it gave a deep satisfaction. Oh, now I got a chance to read Bhagavad Gita once through and Bhagavatam first canto once through in this lockdown period. In the same manner, you want to hear your spiritual master's lectures. You make a plan. Now it is, which month is it now? May month? May. Now Janmashtami is when? September or August. So you still have time. So you want to hear all the lectures given by a special master in the 10th canto, or you want to read the Krishna book completely once through, or some devotees have started 10th canto, you want to complete the 90 chapters of 10th canto. So you have to make a sankalpa. And then if you want, you can combine 2-3 friends along with you. And then you, in a very concrete way, you know, take one big watermelon. You can't eat like that. You cut it into pieces. And take one piece.
Like if I have 3 months time, every day I am supposed to cover this much. And then we cover. So this type of austerity, divine austerity, purifies. Tapo divyam putraka yena sattvam shudhyetyasmat brahma saukhyam tu anantam, he says. But there is another type of austerity, what you see in Hiranyakashipu, which is material austerity. Modern day atheists are also doing material austerity. Look at them, how they are traveling in the train. Look at the scientists, how they are spending all their time in their laboratories, just researching, researching on dead matter, you know. And in this way, you will find there are people who are working 16 hours a day in the companies, 16, 18 hours a day also there are people working. So they are doing material austerity for what? For accumulating money. You put money in the bank. Eventually, one day when we die, the money remains there in the bank. And then it goes to your descendant or somebody like that. So we leave the money, or sometimes money is stolen away by somebody. So we either money leaves us or we leave the money. So then what is the goal of your austerity? Because after death it's not going to come with you. So Hiranyakashipu also did very severe austerity, so much so that the ants were eating up his flesh and only bones were remaining. But then the goal of this austerity is to enjoy after that. Like for example, many boys going for IIT do severe austerity from 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th. 5 years they do austerity. And then once they get into IIT, just eat, drink and be merry. So in this way, these are all materialistic austerities which have no connection to God at all. So there are even many singers who don't even eat ice cream. There are many, what do you call it, mallas or pahlavans, those who are wrestlers, they don't indulge in sex for 6 months or 1 year, especially when they are going for a match, in order to have that spring back reflex, in order to have a very powerful, energetic body. So they are ready to forego sex life in order to have that type of energy and reflex action. So you will find everybody in this world is doing austerity. Some kind of austerity. They are ready to do in a focused way, but for material goals. So therefore Krishna uses the word vyavasaya. Vyavasayatmika buddhir eke hakurinandana. Again in Bhagavatam. Tasma deke namanasa Bhagavan sattvatam patihi. So Prahlad was severely tortured by his father in various ways, which is also austerity for Prahlad. But Prahlad was one pointed on Vishnu and Hiranyakashipu was one pointed on sense gratification. So this is a pastime of extreme atheist and extreme pure devotee. Two extremes we get in this pastime. So we all have to check in our life, what type of penances am I accepting? Am I just coasting along or am I taking some penances? So are those penances helping me purifying my heart? Actually, we can also do penances for self-aggrandizement, which means sometimes we may do austerity for showing off. See me, I have completed 108 rounds, or I have done on Haridas Thakur's appearance day 192 rounds. So I am a mini Haridas Thakur or whatever. One may do, or sometimes people say, Prabhu, on Ekadashi day, last, like one devotee gave another devotee some fruits on Ekadashi, maha fruits he was giving out to all devotees. He said, Prabhuji, don't you know, last 10 years, nirjal, okay? He was telling. So that devotee said, oh really, Prabhu? Sorry, I didn't know that, he said. So some people want to advertise themselves as nirjal for last 5 years or 10 years Ekadashi. So then the benefit of the austerity is lost. Then we want to use the austerity for our own self-aggrandizement. See the third one. Lord is the only supreme controller. Actually, in this world, all of us, we all have some control over some small things. But Lord is a supreme controller. There are smaller controllers, there are bigger controllers, and very big controllers. Like Indra is the chief of all the demigods. But above that, there is Brahma, who is the first created living being in the lotus, coming from the navel of the Lord. Brahma is certainly great. And Shiva. Shiva also is, Brahma and Shiva considered very, very great personalities in the entire creation. But But even they are subordinate to the Supreme Lord. So, you will see that Prabhupada gave a very simple definition. As soon as you are controlled, you are not supreme. The only person who is not controlled, Swarat, the word is used only for Krishna in the very first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Swarat means there is no one equal to him. There is no one greater than him. So today on this auspicious day, Narasimha descends in this world to show how he has infinite power. He has infinite beauty. He has infinite intelligence. He has infinite renunciation. He has infinite amount of wealth. So he has infinite amount of opulences. And there is no one equal to him. There is no one greater than him. And he personally descends in this world to show all the living entities that he exists. An atheist may say, I don't believe in God. Okay, that's all right. But he can't say, I don't believe in death. Prabhupada says, can he say that? Okay, he can say that he'll be knocked off by death like you see here. His mukut is gone. Hiranyakashipu's mukut is flying off. So, Lord says, you don't believe in me, but when I come as death, mrityu sarva harashchaham, he says, when I come as death, I will snatch away everything that you have accumulated. Let's see what you will do at that time. And we all have seen in front of our eyes, where are all big people? Where is Hitler? Where is Napoleon Bonaparte? Where is Alexander the Great? Where are the big empires? They are all washed away by the sands of time. So Lord comes in this world in the form of time. Kalosmyaham, he says. Loka kshakrit pravriddho, he says. So, in this way, foolish atheists, they will only understand God to be the supreme controller at the time of their death. And at that time, it is too late. They have missed out the time. Now, at the time of death, they are helplessly dragged to the graveyard for their bodies to be burnt alive. I mean, for their bodies to be burned. Or, of course, they are not burnt alive. The prana is already taken away. The atma is taken out. But the body is burnt. Or the body becomes a food for the jackals and foxes and eagles. That's the condition of every material body in this world. No great atheistic hero has survived in this world forever. They all shouted, argued, and they all are dead and gone by the power of time. So therefore, those who are intelligent should naturally become humble to accept the supremacy of God. God is supreme in every respect. He is so supreme. He created the sun. He created the moon. He created the universes. He created all of us. He is infinite in everything that he possesses. And we are infinitesimal. So, you will find in every circle there is a subordinate and superior. At home, father is superior and children are subordinate. In a state, the chief minister is superior and the citizens are subordinate. In a country also. In a company, CEO is superior and everybody else working in the company is subordinate. So, if one refuses to accept the subordination, then one will be forced to, like if somebody is twisting his mustache and standing erect and saying, I will not bow down to anybody. At the time of death, he will be flat on the ground. All vertical people will become flat at the time of death. And the fourth lesson we learned from Hiranyakashipu, the law of the material world. One thing I knew many years before that, you know, big fellows can trouble small fellows. That I knew very well. Because we have seen always that might is right is the law of some other people of this world. Like you see, a tiger or lion creates fear for the deers. Similarly, we find there are some hoodlums like Jagai, Madai. They can go to the marketplace with their soda bottle and chain. And and when they go to marketplace, everybody has to give some gift to them. Otherwise, they'll beat them up. You know, there are people like that. Underworld people who do kidnapping or asking a rich man to give some crores of rupees or give a car or something. So many things they do. So I know that big people trouble small people. I know that. Or the strong ones, trouble the weaklings. But once I heard from my spiritual master, I came to understand. Prabhupada also says this example. That smaller ones also trouble the bigger ones. How is it? Like a tiger or a lion, they attack a
pray approximately once in 15 days or so. They have to get up, pray. And then they will keep that pray for 15 days, eating little by little. They will finish it. And again they have to attack. And it's not that every day they will get fresh, like we eat fresh prasad. We eat. They have to attack. And also catching a prey is not very easy, because they have to chase after the deer. Your prasadam plate doesn't run away from you. You don't have to run behind the prasadam plate and catch and take it. You know. Therefore, in human body, we have many comfortable things Krishna has provided for us. Comfortably can sit and eat prasad. But they have to chase and get it. The other prey is also a living body. So, the forest, when they come out of the den, there is a bird by God's arrangement. This bird makes announcement to all the deers. Phew, phew, phew. So that they make a sound. All the deers flee away immediately. So the tiger says, "Hare, I am just now coming out of the den. Even before I start running, you have driving them away." So he becomes very angry with the bird, and that bird sits right on his neck. And then the tiger is trying to catch the bird, but he is sitting behind him. He can't catch. In case he tries to catch with the hand, the bird can fly and sit on the top of a tree. What can they do? What can the tiger or lion do? So Prabhupada says, just as the tiger or a lion is troubled by this tiny bird, which is a tender bird. Similarly, Prahlad was like a tender bird, you know, on the neck of Hiranyakashipu, who was like a very mighty lion or a tiger. And he and Prahlad never had to raise his tone. He was very sweetly singing prayers whenever he met his father. But the father was extremely troubled due to his arrogant nature and due to his being anti-Vishnu. So, you will see in this world, you know, parents may trouble a child when trouble is a child is very small. When the child grows up, then he troubles the parents. So, this is a world of mutual trouble-giving world. All jivas distribute miseries. I give you misery and you give me misery. I punch you, you punch me. I try to eat you and you try to eat me. I climb on your head and you climb on my head. That is the type of world we are living in. Whereas in spiritual world, you know, Lord is the only center and everybody lovingly serves Him. Lord also doesn't like to dominate the living beings, nor the living beings never like to dominate one another in spiritual world. There is a mood of the servant in everybody in the spiritual world. So law of material world is different, law of spiritual world is different. Law of material world is jivo jivasya jivanam. So, and spiritual world is jio janedo. And that was from Hiranyakashipu. Let us learn something from Lord Narasimha. The first lesson. He comes as, Lord Krishna comes as avatar. For what? For Bhakta Uddhar or Asur Samhar? Some people say, no, Lord doesn't come for Asur Samhar. Easily Lord can kill the Asuras by, you know, even one slap of Maya. He comes to the Uddhara of devotees. But Prabhupada says, Bhaktas are already liberated. Lord doesn't have to come to do Uddhara, but He comes for Prema Bhakti Prachar. He comes to display His Prema Bhakti to the devotee. How much He loves His devotee. So Prabhupada says, Lord Narasimha came not to kill Hiranyakashipu, but Lord Narasimha came to express His affection to Prahlad. Prabhupada says, because Lord derives great joy in reciprocating with the intense love of His devotee and the service attitude of the devotee. Lord feels great satisfaction in reciprocating with the devotees. And Lord is always observing His devotees, how they are attentive to My devotion, how they are determined, how, like those verses, He says, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavrata namasyantascha nam mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate tesham satata yukta nam bhajatam priti purvakam. How lovingly they serve Me. Even Lord is deeply captivated by the attitude of the devotee. So, Prabhupada says that this is the actual truth. Lord comes in this world to perform leela with His devotees, and the devotees are feeling separation from the Lord. So, Lord wants to pacify their heart. So, He descends. Like you see here, lion and lion's cub. How beautiful, huh? Lion's cub is smiling at the father, huh? So, who can sit like this lion's cub and smile, huh?
near the line. You can't even, in a dream also, you cannot do that. Huh? So, Prahlad, so Lord and the devotee are made for each other like this. In this world, there are a lot of contradictions, but all the contradictions are resolved in the Supreme Lord. Prabhupada says that, tat tejati, tannaijati, tat dure, tadu antike. Like that he says that, he is outside, he is inside. He is far away, he is near. How? Prabhupada explains that, inside he is as a super soul, outside he is as a Virat Purusha. Similarly, like Lord is called Absolute Truth, but how does he speak lies to Yashoda that he never stole butter? Lord is called as Atmaram. Atmaram is self-satisfied, but he became Stanyakam. He wanted to drink milk from Yashoda's breast, so he was crying, weeping that she is neglecting him, isn't it? Lord is called as Aptakam, means one whose desires are all easily satisfied. But you find that he is stealing butter. Lord is called Madhava. Madhava means the husband of the goddess of fortune. And he is going home to steal butter from the homes of gopis. How can somebody who is the husband of Lakshmi, he has no poverty, then why should he steal? One may have questions. So these are all contradictions. And the answer to contradictions is Dao. That's all. He doesn't steal because he is poor. He steals because there is love in their offering. Similarly here, is Lord Narasimha a dangerous, angry person, or is Narasimha a loving person? Just in the previous slide we saw how angry Narasimha was, and now you find how smiling beautifully he is. This contradiction is resolved because the Lord has two eyes, sun and moon, hot eye and cool eye. Both are cooperatively working. Like with the hot eye, he produces the rains and the grains and the fruits. And with cool eye, he supplies the juices. Similarly, the scorching of the sun evaporates the water of the ocean and then pours down rains, isn't it? Similarly, Lord scorches Hiranyakashipu, but he, just like supplying juices, he is seeing soothingly, soothing vision towards Prahlad. Similarly, the Lord, when he kept his hand on Prahlad's head, Tavakara kamala vare na kamadbhuta shringa lalita hiranyakashipu tanu bringam keshava drita narahari rupa jaya jagadish hare Jai Jagadish Hare, Jai Jagadish Hare. So he says, Tavakara Kamala Vare. Prahlad felt Lord's hands are like a kamal. Lord's hands are fragrant, Lord's hands are soft. But the soft hands on the top of Prahlad, they also had fingers which were like cutting tool nails. I'm a mechanical engineer, I know what is cutting tool. I have seen the lathe machines. You have seen cutting tools? Very sharp and hard. They can even turn, mild steel rods in a lathe. Like that, they can tear them. So, Lord's fingers were like cutting tools with which he broke open the belly of Hiranyakashipu. So, this is a contradiction. Lord's nails are very sharp, but his palm is very soft. So the palm is for Prahlad and the hard nails are for Hiranyakashipu. See, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Dyutam Chalayatam Asmi, he says. If somebody tries to cheat the Lord, then he himself is cheating himself. Very important lesson that Narasimha taught. Are you a fool? You think you can cheat me? And I can fulfill all the conditions which you made, and more than that also I can fulfill. What did you think am I? Dhutam chalayata avasmi, Krishna says. So, foolish atheists think that they can cheat God. By cheating God, they cheat themselves. Like Hiranyakashipu had asked for so many benedictions from Brahma, thinking that I have tricked Brahma. Maybe you can trick Brahma, but you can't trick Brahma's father, huh? Supreme Lord. So Lord fulfilled all the criteria. He came today at the twilight time. And then he came out of the pillar in a half-man, half-lion form. And Hiranyakashipu said, I have never seen a creature like this. Is it a human? Is it an animal? Namrigam, namanusham. He said, yeah, that's surprising. And then he saw, he is picking me up. Where is he taking? And he saw that he is taking me to the doorway. It's neither inside nor outside the palace. My Lord, he has fulfilled that condition also. And it's neither day nor night. He had prayed to Brahma that I should not die in the sky or on land. So Lord kept him on his lap. Lord kept him on his lap. In this way, Lord fulfilled that condition also. So he was amazed how Lord fulfilled all my conditions. And Lord brought many weapons, but he didn't use them. He only used nakham. Nakham, adbhuta shringam. He only used his nails to cut. So he had never included the nail in his bones. List of bones, he only told the weapons. So you can see, nail is like a weapon and still not considered a weapon because it's a part of the body only. So in this way, Lord Narasimha fulfilling all the conditions. He made a laughing stock out of Hiranyakashipu's so-called intelligence. So the Lord's ability, Lord's oceanic buddhi, who can fathom it? In fact, in one of the Einstein's quotes, recently I put in Google search Einstein and God. If any of you get time, you should do that. Einstein and God, you go inside, there are a lot of articles of Einstein inside. You get a very clear understanding of what is Einstein's understanding of God. Einstein says that I actually want to, if I meet God, I want to ask actually, how did he create this universe? What type of intelligence he has? How did he create this marvelous universe? And then Einstein became angry once on some of the scientists who actually used him to make people think he is an atheist. He said, if somebody calls me an atheist, he's a fool, he says. I am a very firm believer of God, and I salute his intelligence with which he has created this world. So there are many articles in that. And then the kind of personal God that was portrayed in Abrahamic religion and other places. So when he heard about that, he felt like, you know, God, it's like, God, you surrender or they'll put you in hell forever. Eternal damnation in hell. So he didn't like that idea, but he had a very understanding of idea that God is a person with extraordinary intelligence. Same way, I have heard that Nietzsche, Nietzsche was often criticized as an atheist. Nietzsche said God is dead. So people thought he's an atheist, you know, but what he said after that, he said, the kind of God that you guys are presenting as someone who is cruel, who will just send you to hell for eternal damnation in hell forever. You know, if that is what is your God, let your God be dead, he said. But I only believe in a God who dances, he said. I don't know whether poor Nietzsche got an opportunity to get to know about Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. If Nietzsche was born in Prabhupada's times, he would have become a Hare Krishna devotee, surely. So in this way, if somebody imagines that I am the pivot of the universe, everything is revolving around me, where is God? No, show me God, that kind of attitude. Yes, you go on, let us see how long will you go on. So when God comes in the form of death, one has no recourse. See, and then anger. Is anger binding or liberating? Look at these fellows, how he is disturbed. So, when we become angry, we become restless like that, isn't it? Ran back and forth, or we twist the face. Whereas when Lord Narasimha becomes angry, his anger is liberating. Liberating whom? Liberating Hiranyakashipu. That means his anger is doing great good. When Prithu Maharaj, who is a Shakti Avatar, became angry, earth gave out so many amazing things. So Lord's anger is welcomable anger. It's transcendental anger. Now we go to the third one, lessons from Prahlad. Prahlad is a very ardent preacher. So Prabhupada says, what is preaching? Preaching means it's the art of convincing karmis to become devotees. One of the definitions Prabhupada says. Preaching doesn't mean I gave a class, that's all. If you can convince people who are not interested in Krishna consciousness, but you turned them towards Krishna and made them chant Hare Krishna, made them take prasad, associate with devotees. I used to be always amazed earlier with Prabhupada's photos, where you find many scientists and scholars come with pant shirt to the temple and Prabhupada gives them garland. They wear the garland, they take Mahaprasad. Later on I found Prabhupada's disciples also, like Parampuja Gopaksha Maharaj, Parampuja Bhakti Sarup Damodar Maharaj. The Maharajas I have seen, Parampuja Jayaprakash Swami Maharaj also. We have seen sometimes they bring very big people in society and then they bring them to the point of coming to temple, accepting the Lord's Mahagarland, accepting Prasad, bowing down before Lord. I was same manner amazed when my spiritual master had gone to this Anil Ambani's family, this thing. So later on, when I went to meet my spiritual master one day, he called me to his room and then he opened his drawer and showed. I was amazed. It was this size. It was big size. He said, it's a marriage, some marriage invitation. It is like a big box. It's like a golden box it is. You open the golden lid, the marriage invitation is inside. And there was Srinathji in the cover with all the pastimes of Srinathji. Srinathji is Krishna only. Inside you open, Maharaj said, can you count how many Krishna pastimes are there? We saw practically there were 2 dozen pastimes of Krishna. The pictures and everything inside. Maharaj said, just see, they are very rich people, but at the same time, you can see how much they are strictly devoted to Krishna also. He was telling. So, you can see that preaching actually means the art of convincing people who are headlong going in material direction to turn towards Krishna and start chanting and utilizing all our resources in Krishna's service. Now, who can be extreme in terms of going in material direction more than the demons? Prahlad is actually dealing with the sons of the demons, and these demons' children naturally must be, when they go home, there must be non-veg. Similarly, when they go home, there must be all demoniac behaviors at home, demoniac activities. But Prahlad could give his association to these children and turn them all into devotees. And Prahlad was so sweet, so humble. My spiritual master was telling, actually we should preach in the mood of Prahlad. Then we asked him, what is the mood of Prahlad? He said, Prahlad doesn't speak in a mood of superiority. He doesn't say, I am great, you are insignificant. I am a Mahatma, you are a Duratma, you surrender to me. That's not the mood, he said. Maharaj said, he is very friendly with his friends. He says, my dear friends, look at our life. We all have 100 years. 20 years goes here, 20 years goes there. Only very little is left. Don't you think we should spend the time in Krishna's service? And then they said, but is it not time to play, Prahlad? And then what will you get by surrendering to Vishnu? So in this way, Prahlad is back and forth discussing with them and bringing them to the point of chanting the holy name. That is preaching. Secondly, prayer, the art of approaching the Lord.
Sakshat Sri Preshita Devair Drishtva Tam Mahadadbutam Adrishta Ashrita Purvatvat Na Upeyaya Shankita.
It is said, even Lakshmiji was Shankita. She was doubtful. I have never seen my husband in such an angry mood, doing such garjana, such a roar. Lakshmi's assistants are telling, hey Lakshmi, Brahma wants you to go and offer garland to your husband. She's saying, no. She says, I can offer him garland, but not in this mood. He seems to be in a very angry mood today. I can't go. So then Brahma told Prahlad, it is for your sake Lord has descended in this world. So for pleasing you only he has descended. So can you please kindly offer prayers to him and offer garland? See, Prahlad is such a tender child. He is climbing up the steps
On the way, he is already seeing people who are torn to pieces. Their bodies are lying. Is in a very humble mood. Actually, he says in one verse, Tasmadaham Vigata Viklava Ishwarasya. In that verse, he says, I am feeling on one hand extreme disqualification on my part because in my body is flowing demoniac blood of my father Hiranyakashipu. So I am not qualified to offer prayers. On the other hand, I see the demigods, they are all Vibhuda Rishabha, very exalted in offering prayers in Sanskrit. Eloquent prayers. So seeing their high qualification and seeing my disqualification, I feel very, very sankocha, very, very uneasy to approach the Lord and offer prayers. At the same time, there is a transcendental greed arising in my heart. Why? Here is a golden opportunity for me to purify my heart by praising the Lord. And if I miss this opportunity, it may not come again. Like one time, one devotee was telling, In his spiritual master's car, there was a place to sit. And the personal assistant asked him, do you want to come here? He said, no. How can I sit? Maharaj is sitting in the front. He will look at me. I am little afraid to be in such a near vicinity. So I am sorry. I don't want to come. Then another devotee was taken. After the car went, this devotee started crying. He cried to other devotees, what a fool I am. You know, I got a chance to go in the car. But I didn't go. Then everybody said, okay, you didn't go. You could have gone. Why you didn't go? He said, therefore, I'm crying now, he said. He lost the opportunity. So, he said, I was a little afraid, he said. That I was not qualified. It will be arrogance on my part to sit in his car and all that he was saying. Similarly, Prahlad thought, if I miss this opportunity and then Brahma starts offering prayer, later on I will lose the opportunity to purify my heart. So, you know, he said, go ahead now. Although I am unqualified, I am being ordered by Brahmaji, a great personality, let me go ahead. Tasma adaham vigata viklava, he said. I am giving up my artificial humility and I am going ahead offering my prayer. In this way, he went ahead to offer prayer and became glorious. So we all also have to feel humble before offering prayer. Third one is love. Prahlad was a pure servant. Lord Narasimha was a pure master. And the demigods are often considered impure servants, impure masters. And the demigod worshippers are often considered impure servants. Because many of the demigod worshippers go with material motivations. And the demigods also have some material mentality. One example I'll tell you. When Gajendra was caught by the crocodile and he was looking up at the sky, then all the demigods were hovering in the sky watching this scene. And they anticipated that this Gajendra will call us. But Gajendra looked at them, but he didn't call them. He looked ahead of them. And then he called for that Supreme Lord, Adimulame. Adimulame means, oh, source of all millions of universes, the Supreme Lord. No, I do not know your name. I knew your name. And demigods felt ego problem. Hey, we are available here. We can immediately come and pull you out of the water and we can relieve you from the crocodile. And you are calling somebody far beyond. That person is very far away and he's a very busy man also. He's a very big man. Why do you want to disturb him? We are right here and you are ignoring us. Okay, if you want him only, then you suffer. Like the demigods were saying. And they all were hovering. And then they thought Supreme Lord may not come because he's an elephant is calling. What difference it makes. So, but then Lord actually came on the back of Garuda. Sontasya rasyurbalena grihita arto drishtva garutmatiha. Chran Narayana kilaguru Bhagavan namaste. Narayana kilaguru Bhagavan namaste. Narayana Akila Guru Bhagavan Namaste. At that time he remembered the name of the Supreme Lord. Hey Narayana Akila Guru. Guru of the whole universe, at last you have come. So now when demigods saw Narayana coming, they all felt a little, like that children do like this, no? Mother has come, we have eaten the whole packet of gems, like the children do now, like this. Now demigods are feeling a little ashamed, eh? The Lord knows all our heart also, huh? He knows what we were talking to. Gajendra, he may be aware. So they also came with the Lord when the Lord came. They came behind the Lord only. So when the Lord came, as soon as the Lord came, he cut off the neck of the crocodile and relieved Gajendra's pain and gave Gajendra a Vishnudutta body. And all the demigods were showering flowers on the Lord and clapping hands and offering wonderful prayers in Sanskrit, praising the Lord. They thought that by doing this, our offenses we committed by, offending the Lord, that will be nullified. They thought that we should not have offended the Lord by putting ourselves in the front instead of the Lord. So demigods have that impure mentality due to their false mastership. And there are impure servants like Hiranyakashipu, Bhasmasura, all these people. But Prahlad was a pure servant who had no expectation from Lord Narasimha. He simply wanted to, please him and serve him. See, Lord Narasimha is asking, what do you want, Prahlad? What can I provide you? Prahlad says, my dear Lord, how can I ask you for anything? Especially I like that right side picture, you see, very rare picture, no? Isn't it? Prahlad is speaking so confidentially with the Lord, isn't it? And smiling very joyfully. Lord is so huge in size and Prahlad is so small, yet that great affection they are experiencing. This kind of pure affection is seen in Vritrasura's heart, in Kunti's heart, in Prahlad's heart. You can be a child, you can be a female, you can be a great asura like Vritrasura also. Once a person awakens the love for the Lord, it is non-stop, ever flowing, uninterrupted, like Ganga flowing towards the ocean. And that pure love is ever expanding. Yeah. So, Prahlad's pure love is explained in these verses. The devotees will purify themselves by showing lack of animosity to attain qualities like Prahlad. It is said in the Bhagavatam by Kashyapa to Diti. He is telling when Prahlad will appear in this world, all devotees will cry tears and pray to Prahlad. Prahlad, we may give up offending others with our mouths, but heart of heart we maintain animosity. Please give us your blessing. To give up that animosity by which we can even pray for those whom we consider as our enemies. That's a very rare quality. Prahlad had no hatred for Hiranyakashipu. Rather, he prayed for the deliverance of Hiranyakashipu. Similarly, devotees pray to Prahlad for this quality of no animosity. Na ashubhamati. And the last one, gratitude of Prahlad. So as soon as Lord Narasimha picked up Prahlad and kept him on his lap and said, Prahlad, I am very eager to bestow some benediction upon you. Please tell me, what can I give you? Evam janam nipatitam prabhavahi kupe kama vikama manuya prapatan prasangat kripvatma satsura rishina bhagavan grihita soham katam na visruje tava vritya sevam. He is saying, oh my Lord, I was fallen into a dark well full of snakes and scorpions and such dangerous creatures. But my Guru Narada Muni picked me up from that ocean and purified me by the chanting of the holy name and by Bhagavad Katha. And then he made me just like himself. What is the meaning of making just like himself? Just as he is doing bhajan, now I am doing bhajan with my demoniac friends in the school. And just like he was glorifying the Lord, now he made me glorify the Lord. Just as he has been a preacher, he has made me to preach this message. And he has driven away all my bad demoniac qualities, which come with anybody born in a demoniac family. So he said, Soham katamna visrujaye tava britya seva. I want to eternally serve him. What more can I ask you other than his service? Because I purchased you by the jewel of Krishna consciousness that he gave me. You are such a wonderful Lord, but I got you because of his mercy. Therefore, I am remembering him, he said. So, this type of gratitude to Guru is very important. Once Gauranga Prabhu and me, we were having a discussion. And Gauranga Prabhu brought one very profound point. He said that generally modern day education means people think that here is my teacher and I am a student here. And what is the extent of his information that he knows? These are the books he reads. These are the lectures he speaks. Okay, give everything. And at the tap, like that, just like a KT, knowledge transfer. They take it and then they put a cursor on the professor and delete him after that. And then you get another professor from whom you can take information. It's an age of information explosion. People generally think every person has some valuable information I can take something from. And they don't have any innate, genuine respect for that person or gratitude to that person. But Gauranga Prabhu was telling, Guru Panampara doesn't work that way. And the reason he said why? He said that the Guru is a person from whom if you are seeking knowledge, his knowledge, he is connected to the super soul in his heart who has oceanic wisdom. Therefore, he keeps on tapping wisdom from super soul and delivering it to the people. Even if you hear him whole life, you will keep on getting newer and newer realizations. It's not enough. Therefore, one's respect for Guru or gratitude for Guru should be everlasting, even after death, even after going to spiritual world also. That is the Guru Parampara works that way. Guru Parampara doesn't work like the Karmi education, where you see a superior man as a, information booth, where you just gather information and cut him off. It's not like that. So, Narada Muni and Prahlada had a very sweet relation. Narada Muni was glorifying his own disciple Prahlada wholeheartedly. He glorified his own disciple Dhruva. In the pages of Bhagavatam you will see. Completely non-envious relationship, sweet relationship, spiritual relationship, divine relationship, relationship full of gratitude. Guru is grateful to disciple for his good example. And the disciple is grateful to Guru for deliverance. So that is Prahlada. I completed 3 lessons from 3 personalities of Narasimha Leela. Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki, Lakshmi Narasimha Dev Bhagwan ki, Bhaktaraj Prahlad Maharaj ki.